Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we believe today and we thank you for the faith that we have because we know you gave it to us, Lord. All we can see is grace, Lord. All we can see is your mercy to us. Nothing in our arms we bring, Lord, simply to that cross we cling. We claim nothing today but the blood of Jesus. Lord, I'm expecting today, Lord. Not because we're worthy, but because you're worthy. And because you promised to be with us, Lord. And we invite you to come, Lord, and take control. Take control of my being and every being in this place, Lord. Visit us in a special way today, Father. Lift us up in the heavenly places. Lift up the hands that hang down, O God. Draw us to yourself, Lord. Give us ears to hear and eyes to see. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. While we're standing, can we turn in our Bibles this morning to Romans chapter 9? Romans chapter 9. I'm going to just read a couple verses, verse 27 and 28. Romans 9, 27 and 28. Praise the Lord Jesus. Isaiah also crieth concerning Israel, though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. For he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. You may be seated this morning. God bless you. A short work. Last week we didn't get a chance to finish the thought we had about turning back to Israel, so this is kind of a continuation of that, but I have all these new thoughts, and so just pray the Lord will have his way today. And I want you to know I'm glad to be here today.
Amen.
I'm glad to see the grace of God in my life, and really I want that for everybody. You know, we can't force people to believe God. Maybe we can't even understand why we believe God. But there's something in us that believes God. And we go through many trials and tests, and our faith is tested. And then we come through the trials, and we look back, and we say, I still believe God. And I've been through that so many times that I realized this, as Israel was saying to me today, something keeps holding me.
Amen.
Something keeps holding me, and that's our faith. You know, the Bible says our faith is our victory.
Amen.
And in the end, it's not going to be, you know, I remember one time Brother Branham was preaching to some students. They were graduating, maybe high school or something. And he really emphasized, you know, really what's important is what you believe. It's what you believe that's important. See, and we as human beings in a fallen nature, we're born of the sexual act, and we're all in this this body, and we fight our flesh nature. That flesh nature is always trying to earn its own salvation. Always. But the gospel says it's not about what you did. It's about what you believe about what he did.
Amen.
See, that's what's important. Our eternal destination depends on our attitude towards the Word of God. So that takes away all boasting and bragging and everything. It's about faith. And so I'm so glad that God sent a message to this end time generation.
Amen.
To restore our faith back to the original faith.
Amen.
See, because we needed that, because what had happened over time is man's creeds and evil spirits had come in, because the devil knows this too. If he can just pervert people's doctrine a little bit, the power's gone.
Amen.
But if they have that same pure, unadulterated faith in the pure, unadulterated Word of God, it'll produce the same thing every time. So that's why God keeps working on us. And, you know, the nature of God is so wonderful. We talked about it a lot of last year. And He's a holy God.
Amen.
So when you get near this holy God, that holiness of God, see, it makes an impression on you, and it'll cause you to be grieved at things that are unholy. Because the more you want to be with Him, the more you want to be like Him, see, but He is our holiness. Amen. It's not us, it's Him. He is our righteousness. But the more that we want to please Him, then those things that are that He doesn't like, see, then we turn away from them. But that's not making us righteous, it's just getting close to His righteousness, and we become more like Him. So, praise the Lord. So turning back to Israel, I think we're at a great time, and I realize it's easy for people to get caught in a rut as time goes by. But I think we ought to be alert. We ought to watch and pray and be sober and vigilant, realizing that our adversary, the devil, is as a roaring lion going about seeing who he may devour, right? And we can see the sad part is he's devouring a lot of things and a lot of people, and so, Lord, help us to be watchful and sober. Let's read Romans 11:25 real quick. I want to establish some background as we go into the thought today. Romans 11:25 says, "For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery." There's a lot of mysteries that have been revealed in the end time. Now, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits. To me, that's one of the great things that the message of the hour destroyed, was people getting lifted up in themselves and being self-contained, self-assured, self-confident. And Brother Branham's ministry obliterated that. And so we know that amongst Christianity, there's a lot of people that they'll go to a college and they get a piece of paper that says they graduated, they got a degree on the wall. What does that mean? And they have confidence because they have a degree on the wall? Well, it doesn't matter what men thinks, it matters what God thinks. Amen. See, and God proved in this generation, He does not esteem education and degrees the way we do. Hello? Praise the Lord. We, man in general, in this age, worships that. And we were talking about the other day how I have work colleagues and things, you know, they'll go into debt spending $40,000-$50,000 a year on a college education for their kid who doesn't appreciate it. Amen?
Amen.
Why do they do that? Because they absolutely worship as an idol getting a college degree. Doesn't matter what kind of degree, just get any kind of degree. And then people get a degree and they can't get a job. Mm-hmm. It matters what kind of degree. Help us, Lord. I'm not against getting an education. I have a mechanical engineering degree, but I don't care about that. I want to serve God.
Amen.
And anything that is good that's happened in my life, I know in my heart it's when I put Him first and then He opens doors. And I always tell young people, listen, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things you're worrying about will be added unto you. So the problem is, I can't serve God. I got to figure this out. No, don't try and figure it out. Seek Him and He'll figure it out. And that goes for young and old, whatever you are in your life. When you try to figure things out, you're going to go the wrong way. Amen. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and Amen. His righteousness, and all these things will be added. Pray, it's a great way to live, and prove that. So we realize Romans 11:25, "For I would not, brethren, that you're ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness," notice blindness, "that blindness is in part happened to Israel until," there's a time when the blindness is turned off, "until the fullness of the Gentiles come in." So we should realize, if we're feeding on the revelation of the hour, the message of the hour, that we're at that time. We are at that time. We're right at that time of the end of the Gentile dispensation. Now, that sounds like a big word, but God's grace has turned to the Gentiles, and He deals with Gentiles as individuals, Israel always as a nation. And so He turned from them when they rejected Him, but they rejected Him because they were blinded, see? So they were blinded in part so we could have a chance. So the Gentiles, He pulls individuals out of every nation, kindred, tongue, right? We're a good mixed representation today, different nations, different races, and even out of Jewish people, there can be individuals, Messianic Jews, that become part of his bride, individuals. But Israel as a nation, he deals with a whole. So when he turned from them as a nation, he turned to, and Israel was scattered throughout the world and persecuted for the last 2,000 years, and it's a miracle they became a nation again. Why did they become a nation again? Because God's fixing to turn back to that nation of Israel. It's a red light in the world, and people don't understand it. So we should understand that we're at the end of the Gentile. The grace of God's been with us for about 2,000 years. And now at the end, God's fixing to turn back because they're ready to receive the Messiah. Amen. They're ready for that. Ephesians 1 verse 9. I want to show you something. I believe it applies to now. Ephesians 1 9. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. See, to me, it's a gathering time. It's a special gathering time right now. Gathering together all things. He had Israel, they were gathered together, the nation, they were scattered, and then he gathered Gentiles, right? But we're at a gathered time now. The wheat is being gathered. The tares are being gathered together. See, the Jews are gathering in a homeland. They're being brought together. The Spirit of God said, to the north, give up. To the south, give up. And all this caused them to become a nation again. The bride of Christ is being gathered in this last age, I believe. And so a message went forth, a midnight cry. Hallelujah. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Amen. Did you hear the cry?
Amen.
See, because it's gathering people. It's gathering people together. It's bringing them together in a spiritual, invisible union of the bride. Praise God.
Amen.
I love that. And I believe this message has within it rapturing faith. I believe there's going to be a rapture in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. See, people are going to be changed. And then the bride is not just out of this last age. There's seven church ages, seven messengers, and the spirit. The Bible talks about the seven spirits of God, the seven eyes, and then gathering together those. It's a gathering time.
Amen.
It's a gathering time. Now, Jesus spoke about the end time, and I want to go over some more scriptures. I want to get right to it. Luke 21, verse 23. Now, try and keep all this together in your mind as we go forward. Luke 21, 23. And this is like an equivalent gospel to Matthew 24 at the end time. But Luke 21, 23, look what he says. But woe unto them that are with child, to them that give suck in those days. For there shall be great distress in the land and wrath upon the people, and they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and they shall be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Now listen, that is so this day. When you look at the last 2,000 years of Israel, they were scattered about, and that land of Jerusalem was taken over by many different peoples and trodden down the Gentiles until it'll be trodden down until the time that the Gentiles shall be fulfilled. So after the Gentiles' time is fulfilled, God turns back to Israel. Can't you see? It is a flashing red light to us, Israel and its homeland. They've been a nation for how many years now? It's a flashing red light. Matthew 24, let's go to verse 1. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for him to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. Now that was a big statement, because when they were walking around these magnificent buildings, I'm sure they stood in awe, you know, when they looked at that. And Jesus says, not one stone left upon another. It looked impossible what he said. So they said to him in verse 3, And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, notice they asked three questions. Tell us, when shall these things be? So he was telling them that one stone not left upon another, right? Tell us, when shall these things be? What shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? So they asked him three different questions. And when Jesus answers, you can study Matthew 24. You can see he answers all three of the questions. That's why people misunderstand the timing and placement of the scriptures, because he answers things that are fulfilled at different times. But he answers it all there. So now, when you look at what Jesus said, and I'm not going to go through it all, but in Matthew 24, deception. He talks about deception. Deception came right in the beginning in the first church age. Antichrist spirit started right in the first church age, trying to pervert the true gospel, and he's been in every church age, especially in this last church age. There's wars, rumors of wars, famine, pestilence, earthquakes. Listen, all those things are happening now. Right? False prophets, of course, false teachers in the land. That's why people can hardly believe in a real prophet, because they're always worried about a false prophet. And so then we see he starts talking to them about when the Romans are going to gather around and the abomination of desolation. He says, listen, don't go take things out of the house. Just flee right away. So when the Roman soldiers were coming to surround Jerusalem, those that had the warning, they just left right away, and they weren't captured in Jerusalem. Those that didn't have the warning, they stayed there, and of course they were starved, and it was a horrific time. So, and then the Romans destroyed everything at that time, right? So we see those that got out, he says, don't go into the house and take anything, just run to the hills. So Matthew 24:19, let's go right there. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days, but pray ye that your flight may be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. Verse 20. So look at verse 21. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. He's talking about a tribulation period now. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Now, those kind of scriptures can have twofold meanings, we know that, but I believe Jesus is definitely talking about the end time tribulation period and about the days being shortened. And if you remember our first scripture reading, let's put that up again, Sean. Romans 9:27. It says, Isaiah crieth to Israel concerning Israel, though the number of children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. A remnant is a smaller portion than the whole, right? For he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. Amen. A short work. Mm-hmm. See, I believe God's going to finish everything he said he was going to do just perfectly. Amen. Exactly as he promised, exactly as he said it's going to happen. Do you believe that?
Amen.
I believe that. I don't have any doubt that God is going to finish everything perfectly, and it's going to be just wonderful.
Amen.
But I don't believe everybody's going to see it and understand it when it's happening.
Amen.
And when it happens, it will happen quickly. Now, I want you to see something in prophecy. Isaiah prophesied, a virgin shall conceive. Amen?
Amen.
That was a sign. A virgin shall conceive. How many years went by between the prophecy and when it was fulfilled?
Amen.
Does anybody know? It's got to be 700-800 years. It's got to be at least 700 years. So, 700 years. See, when you look back in the Bible, there's many instances of time delays. And when time delays happen, people lose their enthusiasm for the prophecy.
Amen.
Like when he first said it and people heard it, you know, everybody's checking with their maiden daughter, and you know, they were expecting. But then as time goes on, the expectation dwindles, and then people, you know, generations go by, and then the people wonder if it ever is going to happen.
Amen.
Same thing's true in the end time. Time delays shouldn't bother a Christian.
Amen.
filled with the Holy Ghost and the revelation of God. Amen. Time has nothing to do with it. God said so. It's going to happen just as he said.
Amen.
See, don't let time delays are a test to people. It's a test of faith to people.
Amen.
So Israel said, you know, when the 700 years later, when the prophecy was fulfilled, I want you to see this, there was no public announcement to the world that the prophecy was being fulfilled.
Amen.
Think about how that prophecy was fulfilled. That, you know, angels went to a few shepherds in the field and made an announcement. Something big is about to happen.
Amen.
A Savior is born. It was a big deal. But who did he come to? Shepherds. Brother Branham preached a wonderful sermon. Why did it have to be shepherds? And if you really investigate that sermon, because nobody else would believe it. See, God comes to humble people because they can accept what he's doing. People, that's the danger of getting lifted up in yourself. You don't accept what God's doing. But humble people, they're open to it and they can accept it. Be careful when you get it all figured out, because then you know you're wrong.
Amen.
We shouldn't have things all figured out. What we should have is the Holy Spirit. Because he has everything figured out, and we just rely on him. And then when things happen to fulfill, he quickens to us, say, that's that.
Amen.
Remember Simeon? He didn't have it all figured out, but he knew he wasn't going to die. It was revealed to him until he saw the Messiah.
Amen.
And here he's an old man. People think, what a crank, you know. I'm not going to die until I see the Messiah. You're going to die any second, buddy. People didn't believe him, but it doesn't matter what other people believe. When you get a revelation from God direct to you, right? You know that you know that you know.
Amen.
And Simeon had this revelation, and he didn't understand it. But when he heard that baby crying, woo! The bells went off. Whoa, that's the one. He come in. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
You see, it wasn't necessarily the sound of the baby. It was the Holy Spirit quickening to him, this is the one.
Amen.
And that's why we need the Holy Ghost. So when God starts doing things, there's something within us that says, this is it.
Amen.
This is the one.
Hallelujah.
The rest of the world will know nothing about it, but the Holy Spirit will quicken it to those few people.
Amen.
Praise God. We're living in exciting times. Now, if you're not sensitive, you can say, well, nothing happening, it's kind of boring, and I just go to church, and you know, I put my hour in a week, and I don't pray, I don't talk to God, I don't read the Bible. No wonder you're not excited.
Amen.
If you want to get excited, get closer to God.
Hallelujah.
Seek God. His word says, ask of me concerning the things to come of my sons. Ask him. He wants us to pursue him. Remember the road to Emmaus when he made as though he'd go a little further? He wants to be invited.
Amen.
He wants to be invited into your life, into my life. He wants to say, I'm giving you this time on this day. Please come.
Amen.
He'll be there.
Glory.
He'll be there. What a God. When prophecy is fulfilled, like the virgin shall conceive, there's no public trumpets and announcements. There's more private things that happen.
Amen.
The angel came to Mary and told her, and so she knew, Mary knew she wasn't with man, but all of a sudden she's having a baby.
Amen.
But I want you to know she believed it before she felt anything. Because it was quickened to her.
Amen.
It was quickened to Mary that she would be the one, that chosen one, to fulfill the scriptures. Think about that. Right before the first coming, God sent an angel to a virgin and sent her a message. It says something supernatural is going to be formed within you.
Amen.
And I always love my precious brother Green would say, the miracle of Mary is not that God could create in her womb. The real miracle of Mary is she believed that the message, that supernatural message, applied to her.
Amen.
That's the miracle.
Amen.
Not that God can do whatever he wants. The miracle in your life is that you believe the word
Amen.
Applies to me.
That's good, Amen.
I'm saved by the grace of God.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit's mine. I've repented. I was baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. God keeps his word. The Holy Ghost is mine.
Amen.
I'm part of this end time bride. I don't deserve it, but I am.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
And I'm not going to apologize for it because some my eyes have been opened. My ears can hear.
Amen.
God sent a prophet to this generation.
Amen.
I believe with all my heart. You know what, brother? You can walk away with you want. I feel sorry for you walking away, but I ain't walking away because something quickened to me.
Amen.
Quicken to me.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Most people did not know that Mary was that virgin of Messiah. Think about it.
Amen.
Who knew?
That's right.
Probably nobody but her really knew. Nobody but her really knew.
Amen.
Most people did not believe that Jesus was the child born of a virgin. See, when Mary got pregnant, probably the rumors went flying.
That's right.
Joseph was with her. Some soldier attacked her. Think about it. They didn't believe it. People don't believe it. The masses won't believe it. Others didn't know. Mary knew. When God fulfills his word, not everyone understands.
Amen.
Even good people. Joseph was a good person. And Mary comes to him, sweet Mary. You know, I believe she was probably a humble, just common girl, right?
Amen.
And if it's true that Joseph was older and that he had a previous wife who died and he was a widower and that he took Mary, I believe that's very possible.
Mm-hmm.
That some of other Jesus' siblings were older than him by a different mother. Because there's letters and things, and if you study that. So... Anyway, but Joseph was a good man. Did you know that some of the old Orthodox Jews, they believe the serpent seed doctrine? They know it's true. They don't know anything about the message of the hour, but they believe it. And in one of the letters they found, they had Joseph saying when he found out Mary was pregnant, "Am not I just like Adam? Found his wife pregnant? By another?" Think of it. So Joseph come to Mary and she's real sweet. She said, "Joseph, I wasn't with any man. An angel came to me and I am the fulfillment of the prophecy of Messiah. I'm the virgin that shall conceive." He's looking at her like, "I want to believe you, but I'm having trouble." And the same thing's true today. Have you ever testified of what God's doing in this hour? And people, they want to believe you, but they're just struggling. Like, because God always hides behind something that looks a little wrong.
That's right. That's good, brother.
You start talking about a prophet of God, people start running.
Oh my God.
Frankly, when I first heard about a prophet, I said, "Oh boy, a prophet. Oh, I don't want to follow no prophet." You know, and I struggled with that in my mind, and I would start listening to him, and in my mind I'm struggling, but in my heart I'm saying, "Amen, I believe it." But in my mind, that's where our problem is, you know, all these doubts and fears, and you know, and then, but in my heart, someone's going, "Amen, amen,
amen.
Praise God, amen."
Amen.
And eventually what's in your heart will win,
amen.
See. So praise the Lord. I get it. I understand it. I've had so many sincere conversations with people that, Christian people that, and I, from the bottom of my heart, I try the best I can to explain from the scriptures what God has done. And and I'll say, "Well, listen, this guy, he's in the scriptures.
Amen.
Show me his name."
That's right.
I'll take him to Malachi 4. Well, it doesn't say his name. I say it didn't say John the Baptist's name when it said, "And coming out crying in the wilderness, make straight paths."
Amen.
See, but people, they get stuck in their own. That's why you got to be careful. You're not too religiously stuck on your own ideas.
Amen.
And that's the problem with denominationalism. People get stuck on those ideas.
Amen.
And if they're not from God, they just keep you from God.
Amen.
Praise God. Not everybody understands. Not everybody's going to see. Usually, there's just a few. Usually, there's just a few.
Amen.
Same's true today. Praise God. Let's keep moving. When Isaiah's prophecy was fulfilled, it happened quickly. There was a warning about it being fulfilled, but it was a strange warning. Yeah, there was some guy in the wilderness putting people underwater and things like that. And he was a crazy man. He ate bugs and he was hairy. And, you know, there was a warning that went forth, but the masses didn't accept John. So they didn't accept the warning. And even some people that accepted John stayed with John after Jesus came. And that's happened around the message. We got people that worship Brother Branham when you're not supposed to worship Brother Branham. He was a man just like us. He was a sinner saved by grace. If we get to the other side, he'll be there worshiping Jesus with us. And some people worshiping Brother Branham. Some people baptized in his name. How ridiculous is that? See, that's what happens when you get your eyes off the Word of God. Brother Branham said, if it doesn't line up with this Bible, then don't believe it.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Everything he said, you got to take it back to the Scriptures. Amen. You don't take the Scriptures back and twist it up with what he said. That's ridiculous.
Amen.
The Bible is our absolute.
Amen.
Scriptures. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, there was a warning, but people rejected it. When God makes the turn back to Israel in this hour, most people will not realize what's happening. Most people of the world will think, well, the world's going through a hard time. We've been going through a hard time for a while. It just seems to be getting harder. But it'll get better. Not going to get better. Time of trouble that never was before. The tribulation period will set in. The bride will be taken. Tribulation will set in. Things will get really worse. More earthquakes, more natural disasters, more trouble, right? The devil's unleashed then. The Holy Spirit's not holding back. And then some people will say, wasn't the rapture supposed to take place first? It already has. And you didn't know it. That'll be the truth of it. See? It's going to happen just the way God said, but people are not going to recognize that it's happening. Now, I want to look at a bunch of prophecies about Jesus in the Old Testament. There's so many prophecies about Jesus, but did you realize, you probably did realize, but maybe not highlighted, how many were fulfilled right at the end? Even on the cross. Right at the end. So these prophecies are hundreds of years old, and then right at the end, boom, 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 boom. It's going to happen just that way. It's going to happen just that way. Now watch. Let's look. Isaiah 16:10. If Sean can put them up, that's all right. But if not, I'll just go through them quickly. I don't want you to turn to them because I want to go quickly here. For thou wilt lead... will not leave my soul in hell, neither will I suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. Now, David in the Psalms is saying this, but really, the Spirit is prophesying about Jesus. And it was fulfilled because he wasn't in the grave more than 3 days. So the body didn't see corruption, right? You believe that? Psalm 22 is a wonderful psalm. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Psalm 22:1. Why art thou so far from helping me, from the words of my roaring? When was that fulfilled? David said it under inspiration on the cross, right at the end. Psalm 22:15. My strength is dried like a potsherd. My tongue cleaveth to my jaws. Thou hast brought me into the dust of death on the cross. Psalm 22:17. I may tell all my bones, they stare, look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them, they cast lots on my vesture. On the cross. Look at that. Psalm 31. Into thine hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. Right on the cross. Psalm 31:11. I was reproached among all mine enemies, but especially among my neighbors, and a fear to mine acquaintance. They that did see me without fled from me. Right in Gethsemane. His closest friends, they ran away. Right? Psalm 34:20. He keepeth all his bones. Not one of them is broken. Right? On the cross. They didn't break his legs. Psalm 38:12. They also that seek my life lay snares for me. See the Pharisees in them? And they that seek my hurt speak mischievous things and imagine deceits all the day long. But I, as a deaf man, heard not. And I was dumb. And I was as a dumb man that opened not his mouth. Remember before Caiaphas and them? He just stood silent. like a Lamb of God.
Amen.
That taketh away the sins of the world.
Amen.
He's my Lamb.
Amen.
That's my Lamb. Perfect Lamb. Spotless Lamb.
Woo!
Psalm 41, verse 9. Yea, mine own familiar friend in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me.
Amen.
Judas.
Amen.
Right at the Last Supper. When was that fulfilled? See, all those years go by, but fulfilled right at the end.
Amen.
Psalm 69, 21. They gave me also gall for my meat, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. Amen.
On the cross.
Isaiah 50. Now these are hard. It talks about Jesus now. Isaiah 50, verse 5 and 6. The Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away my back. I gave my back to the smiters, O my Lord God, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. How painful was that? He had a beard and he just ripped. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. Can you imagine? The God of eternity condescends from his glory. He stands before his shearers as a sheep. He lets them mock him, spit on him, beat him. I tell you what, Jesus is worthy.
Amen.
Anything we can do to serve him, he's worthy. He took our place.
Amen.
That we could be the righteousness of God. He became sin who did no sin.
Amen.
What a God.
Amen.
What a God. He's worthy to be worshipped.
Amen.
He's worthy for you to give your life to him.
Amen.
That night he was taken. Now all that happened. Isaiah 52, 14. As many were astonied at thee, his visage, see, was so marred more than any man, his form more than the sons of man. They beat him. His visage was so marred. Oh, God, help us, Lord. Sometimes we go to feeling sorry for ourselves for stupid things. Things that we bring on ourselves in selfishness. Look at him. He laid down his life for others, for us. Isaiah 53. Oh, what a beautiful scripture. We'll just read a portion of it. He is despised and rejected of men. Verse 3. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed.
Amen.
We were healed with his stripes.
Hallelujah.
All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from the prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked. Right? He had two thieves on either side of him. And with the rich in his death, a rich man gave him his grave.
Amen.
Because he had done no violence. Neither was there any deceit in his mouth. Praise God. Surely he fulfilled the scriptures of Messiah. And there's so many more. I just gave you a scattering that fulfilled right at the end. Perfectly, perfectly fulfilled right at the end. Do you realize God is so wonderful and powerful? He's going to finish this perfectly. And he can do it all, boom, 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 right at the end.
Amen.
I really believe he's going to do it that way.
Amen.
These were fulfilled in Jesus' life right at the end of his life. So will it be, I believe, in the end of the Gentile dispensation.
Amen.
Many things we're expecting to happen, they could happen very quickly. They could happen right at the end. They will be exactly with the scriptures. They'll not be a public show. God can do a short, quick work.
Amen.
A short work will he do. Amen. You know, God's going to show who is the bride. and who isn't the bride. He promised that. The sons of God will be made manifest.
Amen.
Romans chapter 8. And yet, this great happening will not be known by all. It'll be very few that recognize it's happening. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Most of the world will not even realize it ever happened. They just go on.
Amen.
They go on in their things. Let me just read something Brother Bram said in Spoken Words, Original Seed. Pick up your pen and write about Mount Carmel showdown. Showing. So I've often read from this passage where Brother Branham, under inspiration of the Holy Ghost, he heard something say, pick up your pen and write. And we've often read the beginning part of that about the super church and how there's going to be a people that God uses to fulfill His word. And they'll have, thus saith the Lord, or they stand still. It's hard to stand still, isn't it? This is later in the passage, later in this letter that he wrote. He says, God promised, be careful, God has promised Malachi 4 for this last day. And Malachi 4 has not yet been fulfilled, but it must be fulfilled. That's the Elijah to come at the end time. And Brother Bram Hardy ever directly referred to himself referring fulfilling that. For it is a germatized word of God spoken through Malachi the prophet. Jesus referred to it. It is to be just before the coming of Christ the second time. Listen close. All scripture has not been fulfilled, must be before that time. The Bible is to be finished. The Gentile dispensation is to be finished with the church age when this anointed messenger arrives. Of course, he will plant the seed of the entire Bible plumb from the serpent to the messenger in the form of rain. He will be rejected by the denominational people as his forefather John and Elijah, as was spoken by our Lord, people as Elijah was the first time to Ahaz's time. It will happen here in this country as this country is a type of Israel. Read or hear Jezebel religion. That's another sermon Brother Bram preached. As this country, our forefathers, for they worshiped the way they wanted to, they come to this country, pushed out the natives and took over. So did Israel go over when they come out of Egypt. We had godly men like Washington, Lincoln. They had godly great men like David and so forth. And then they got Ahab on the throne with a Jezebel behind him to direct him. Now you notice, this was right about the time Kennedy became president. And the Jezebel was not Kennedy's wife. It was the Catholic Church behind Kennedy. That's what he was referring to. And Jezebel behind him to direct him. So have we. So it's at this time in this country that that person will appear. For it's in the scripture and it's thus saith the Lord. Then in the latter rain there will come forth a Mount Carmel showdown. Now let me stop there for a moment. Brother Branham taught about the former rain and the latter rain. The former rain, he showed the word mara, former, means teaching. So when the teaching rain went forth, it's a teaching and a manifestation. But the latter rain was a manifestation of the teaching. So like Jesus, when he came, he was a teacher, but he manifested what he taught. And in the book of Acts, the Holy Spirit come down and poured out, and they manifested what Jesus said about them.
Amen.
Now we're here in the last days, and God sent a mighty message and a prophet of God in the spirit of Elijah, and he brought a teaching ministry. Even though he wasn't a teacher, he was ridiculed because they said, oh, he should have just prayed for the sick. But he taught us a humble message, and that former rain, teaching rain, came with a manifestation. God vindicated the message in a supernatural way. Now we're waiting for a latter rain that'll come, and the latter rain will sweep the world. The latter rain will fall. The rain falls on the just and the unjust, but the latter rain will fall, and whatever seed you have will be manifested.
Amen.
The sons and daughters of God will be made manifest. We cannot do it without the Spirit of the living God.
Amen.
You can have all the mechanics you want. We need the dynamics. And the dynamics is the Holy Ghost, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The same thing that triggered that first move of God in the book of Acts is the same thing that'll trigger this book of Acts church in the end time.
Amen.
Now, it can be a very short, quick work. It doesn't mean it's going to last forever and ever. I believe it's going to be short, not known by the world, but it'll be known by the people it's happening to.
Amen.
Praise God. Sons and daughters of God come in with the full Spirit of God. We know the third pole will not be fully manifested till the time of the squeeze when there's a pressure on, and they'll speak and God will confirm that word.
Amen.
The creative power of God. Jesus said, if you say this mountain be plucked up, cast in the sea, it shall be done. And Brother Branham came as introducing that to us and bringing the reality to us. He talked about the five times of the spoken word over animal life, over the fish in the sea, right? The squirrel and the fish, over all human life, amen, over cancer, all demonic cancer life, over the storms. God is over everything. His word is powerful. And God will unite with His bride in this short time. And He will step into His bride. And He will speak through her.
Amen.
Praise God. You say it's boring time. This is the most exciting time of all the Gentile dispensation. Because all the devils of hell are trying to stop this thing. And the Holy Spirit's going to have His way. Somebody's going to fulfill the word of God. Somebody's going to do it. That's why it's important to see we're at the turning time, because the bride has to get out of the way before you can turn.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Glory.
Mount Carmel showdown. Bible fulfilled to letter. John the Baptist, his messenger before his face in Malachi 3, planted a former reign, was rejected by the churches, the denominations, the Pharisees and Sadducees. And Jesus came and had Mount Transfiguration showdown. The forerunner of the last days will sow the former reign. Jesus will be the showdown.
Amen.
Between denominations and creeds, which is his word. When he comes, a showdown, the rapture of his bride. The first was Mount Carmel. The second, Mount Transfiguration. The third, Mount Zion. Glory. Amen. Praise God. What a time to live. What a time to live. Do you realize what an opportunity you have? I'm not talking about, you know, some get-rich-quick scheme here. Someone comes to you, hey, I got an opportunity for you. If you invest your money, I'll take it away. You know, we're not talking about that.
Amen.
We're talking about an opportunity that has consequences of eternal consequences.
Amen.
We got to shake ourselves out of the rut we're in.
Yes, Lord, help us, Lord.
What is the most important thing in your life? Is it going to be that you can make a lot of money here and become independently wealthy like most of the world wants to do?
Yes.
Chasing after riches? You know, the Bible says the want of money is the root of all evil.
Amen.
You don't have to have it to have that.
It's good, brother.
You got the want of it, you got the problem.
Amen.
Where Christians should realize that's just a distraction for me. I need money to live, but the most important thing, I need Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I need Him to be first place in my life.
Amen.
And if I seek Him first, He said He'd take care of all these things.
Amen.
Do I believe Him or not?
Amen.
Do I believe Him? Do I trust Him?
Amen.
Can I give Him every problem in my life?
Hallelujah.
And just give it to Him?
Yes, sir, brother. Preach it. Amen.
Praise God. Say, well, Brother John, but I got something practical here. I got a problem with my job. I'm in the wrong job. I just need a different job. You don't think He can take care of that?
Amen.
I'm here to tell you, He can take care of that.
Amen.
I know He can take care of that.
Amen.
We were just talking to Amber today, how God bless Amber. She was in this nursing job, and forgive me, Amber, for talking about you, but she's in a nursing job, and she's stressed like crazy, and she's a hard worker. She's a good girl, woman. She's not a girl anymore. Yeah, we should call our kids kids, but they're not kids anymore. And so this young, you know, beautiful young woman, she's working hard at the hospital, but she's 12 hours without a break. I said, Amber, that's not the job for you. You need a different job. But I love the old people. I said, I love them too, but you need to get out of there. And so then she took the wise counsel of her father and took off for 6 months.
Amen.
Hey, I said, you're not going to be able to, you know, you won't be able to do that later in life. Do it now. So she had a good time. She recognizes her dad's always right. So now she learned something. But here's the thing. She's praying all the time to God, Lord, help me find a good job. And she's got a great job now. And you let her give you the individual testimony. To me, I'm so happy because I know she's not killing herself, like at work. You know, there's time to sit down and have lunch or a break or something. And she's only got three patients instead of five and that kind of thing, you know. So I believe God is very practical.
Amen.
And I know she puts him first.
Amen.
I know she prays and reads her Bible. She listens to the message of the hour. She lives right.
Amen.
Sorry to brag on her like that, but
Amen.
What I'm saying is, you put him first, he'll give you that which you're asking for. Put him first. Many times we don't put him first.
Right. Amen.
Then we say, I didn't get what I wanted. I didn't put you first, God, but I want what I want.
Amen.
Doesn't work that way.
Amen.
Give him everything.
Amen.
And let him go to fight for you.
Amen.
Don't say, well, church is one thing, but real life is another thing. No, church is the real thing.
Amen.
God is the real thing. And it's not all about coming to church. It's about what you live the rest of your life.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I know there's a lot of testimonies here, and I could pick on other people that got wonderful testimonies, but if you believe God and you trust God, He'll take care of it.
Amen.
He will give you the desire of your heart.
Amen.
Say, Brother John, I've been waiting a long time. Time has nothing to do with it.
Amen.
You believe Him or not? I believe Him.
Amen.
You want to get married? Seek God.
Amen.
With all your heart.
Amen.
I don't even think you have to look for somebody.
No, sir.
He'll bring them right to you.
Amen. That's good,
amen. That's what I believe.
Amen. That's good.
And you say, well, you're messing with stuff you don't know nothing about. I trust God. I believe God. He is practical.
Hallelujah.
Glory.
Praise.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Let's go to Romans 10. I want to share some more of this here.
Amen.
Brethren, Romans 10:1, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. You know, I love that. Do you want people to be saved that aren't saved? I believe that is Jesus. When you get cold-hearted and you could care less about this dying world, there's something wrong with you. Paul said he would give himself that they could be saved. That's Christ. Christ in you is self-sacrificing so other people can be saved. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer for Israel is that they be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Let me stop right there. See, Paul could see the zeal Israel had, but in Paul's opinion, the zeal was not according to knowledge. Now, if you talk to some of those Israelites, Jews back then, they would beg to differ. Because they had a lot of knowledge. Right? And they were stuck up because of their knowledge. They were puffed up with knowledge. See, knowledge isn't necessarily a good thing. Unless you have God guiding that knowledge.
Amen.
A lot of people can know a lot, but they don't know anything as they ought to know it. Takes God. And I want you to see, what was these Jews' problem? They were relying on their own works. That's death to a Christian. You cannot rely on yourself. You've got to rely on Him completely. Let's just go further. Not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Christians do that. They don't even know that there's a righteousness of God by faith. Because they're so busy trying to attain righteousness by works. That stinks in God's nostrils. We have nothing. We have nothing in ourselves. He is our righteousness.
Amen.
If anything good comes out of our life, it's because of Him.
Yes.
We don't look down on anybody because we were the worst ones.
Yes.
Until grace came and lifted us out.
Amen.
We're not better than anybody. We're not better than a drug addict. We're not better than an adulterer. It's just the grace of God that touched our lives.
Amen.
Can't you see we have no righteousness? He is our righteousness.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness was of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in thy heart, who shall ascend to heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Or who shall descend into the deep? That is to bring Christ up again from the dead. But what saith it? Oh my. The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth. Do you realize what the word is? The word is God. The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou... I'm going to emphasize that this is really important. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved.
Amen.
Woo! Don't put more requirements on salvation than that.
Amen.
Say what the Bible says.
Amen.
For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
That's our mission. Get people to call on him.
Amen.
Get people to look to him.
Amen.
Not to us, not to forms, not to traditions,
Amen.
Not to doctrines and teachings. Him.
Amen.
Amen.
To know him is life.
Yes.
Amen. Get them to Jesus. He'll take care of it.
Amen.
How then shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? How they shall they believe on him in whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring good glad tidings of good things. You know, I may think I have ugly feet, but the Bible said I got beautiful feet. All right? Doesn't matter what I believe. Matter what the Bible said. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah say, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy. Now listen, by them that are no people, by a foolish nation will I anger you. But Isaiah is very bold, saith, I was found of them that sought me not. Woo, that's me. I was manifest unto them that asked not for me. Praise the Lord. But to Israel he saith, all day long have I stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. See, Israel got to the place where they're like, he's our God. He's only our God. He's just for us. He's not for you. But in their rebelliousness and in their legalism, see, they were blinded by that.
Amen.
And they missed the heart of God. And when he came, the heart of God came in flesh. They missed it. They were blinded. Why? By their own traditions, by their own religiousness. Can you imagine the Pharisees and Sadducees, people with all the knowledge of the law, and here's God of the law, and they missed him. I don't want that to happen to us. I don't want us to be filled with knowledge of the Bible and knowledge of the message, and we know everything, and then we miss what God's doing when he does it. God is love. God is meek. You know, let me share this. The other day, I was listening to the Sixth Seal. It's about the tribulation period. And here's Brother Branham, right in the midst of the seven seals. One of the most important things probably in his ministry that happened. And right in the midst, and he's in the sixth seal. And you know what he does? Right at the beginning, you can listen to yourself. He says, I want to tell you a story. And I got it here, but I'm not going to put it up, Sean. I just want to tell you, it's the story of the little washed woman. He said, now there's a reason I'm doing this. You know there's a reason I'm doing this. He said, this is so important. He has to get in the Spirit.
Amen.
Right? How did he get in the Spirit? He tells a sentimental story. You know what? God has feeling.
Yes, he does.
There is emotion with God. You should, if you don't have any feeling in your religion, it's dead. You need to bury it. Okay, it's not cold and formal. Brother Branham, right at the beginning, he starts talking about, he said the bosses, some come from Chicago out to the ranch there, and he was looking for a wife, and all the women dressed up, and they were like, I'm going to get him. I'm going to be the bride to the son. He said he's there for a while, and you can listen to it yourself. And then he notices this humble woman that was doing the dishes, and she'd walk out the back and dumped the water out, the dirty water. He noticed her. He watched her. The next day she comes out, and he goes out to her, privately to her, and says, "Hello." And there's the boss's son. And she hardly wants us to say hello to him. Right?
Amen.
He says, "Do you know why I'm here?"
Mm-hmm.
"No, sir. I'm here to find a wife." He said, "I see in you what I want in a wife."
Amen.
And she says, "Me? No, me and me. I'm nobody." But that's the one he picked.
Amen.
Well, it's just a story, Brother John. It's just a story filling time before he gets to the main meat of the word. There's a reason for that story.
Amen.
The bride will be somebody that doesn't even imagine why she should be part of that bride.
Hallelujah.
Not somebody who says, "I should be the bride. I'm the bride. I'm the word. I'm this. I'm that."
Amen.
It's people that know they're nothing.
Amen.
That's the kind of bride he's coming for. Can't even imagine why he'd even talk to me. Praise the Lord. Don't miss that part of the message.
Amen.
When you get lifted up, and you think you're better than somebody, you're putting yourself outside the bride. In my view, our God is meek and lowly. Isn't that what he said? "Come unto me, all ye that labored and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart." I know it's a paradox. How can be this being that speaks and creates the universe be so meek and lowly? Listen, I don't understand it, but I know that's true. Because when I'm closest to him, that's when I'm the lowest. I never feel closer to God than when I've thoroughly repented, brokenhearted that I hurt him, and then he's near. He resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Don't miss that part of it. Don't miss that part of it. Praise God. "I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me." There is a bride. There is a bride. It's not who we say is in it. It's who he picks to be in it.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. Can I go a little further? Chapter 11. I got to get this done. This is part two.
Amen.
We can't go into next week too.
Why not?
That's right.
Amen.
Romans 11. You know, I do have another part of this, of turning back to Israel. So there's something else going on too. Amen. Romans 11, verse 1. "I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite in the seed of Abraham, the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people which he foreknew. What ye not what the scripture saith of Isaiah, how he maketh intercession to God, saying, the God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets and digged down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what saith the answer of God to him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Even so then, at this present time, also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then it is no more works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then there is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work." Boy, if that's not plain as day. You can't have both. I'm sorry. A lot of Christians try that. Yes, it's by grace, but I'll take it from here. It doesn't work that way. It's by grace. No more works. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it. And the rest were blinded, according as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, ears that they should not hear. Listen, that spirit of slumber is in this age too. Amen. Slumbering, sleeping. The virgins, the 10 virgins slept, sleeping and slumbering. We need to shake out of our slumber. Shake out of our sleep. Eyes that they should not see, ears that they should not hear unto this day. And David saith, let their table be made a snare and a trap and a stumbling block and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened that they may not see and bow down their back alway. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid, but rather salvation is come to the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. See, so through the fall of Israel, he turned to the Gentiles. Now, if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office, if by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall be the receiving of them be but life from the dead? For if the first fruits be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou, being a wild olive tree, that's us Gentiles, were grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and the fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches. But if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. Amen. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fell, severity, but toward thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shalt be cut off.
Amen.
And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. For if thou wert cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and wert grafted contrary to nature into the good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved, as written, there shall come out of Zion a deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. Woo! You see, the grace of God's going to come back to Israel?
Amen.
We're right at that time. And the reason it's a serious, serious time is when Christ comes off the throne to take his bride, he comes off that mercy seat and he takes his bride and the rapture takes place, that throne of mercy becomes a throne of judgment.
Amen.
He is going to turn and place grace on Israel as a nation, and there's going to come a remnant out of them. Brother Branham said 144,000 would come out of all the tribes of Israel. I believe with all my heart we're at that time. We need to connect with God again. We need to feel the sweet spirit of God in our life. I know it's not based on feelings, but listen, you don't want to be cold in your heart. Let him break up the fallow ground.
Amen.
Let's all stand.
Amen. My, oh my. Amen.
Praise you, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Praise.
Let's bow our heads to him. Heavenly Father, oh Lord, what a time to live. My mind always goes back to Job. He said so many things right, Lord, when he argued with his comforters.
Yes.
You even said that He spoke the things that was right. But still, there was something not right in Job. When he got into your presence, Lord, you had to correct him, Lord. Oh, help us to hear your voice, O God. May we receive correction from the Almighty. May you show us where we're wrong. If it's not in our doctrine, Lord, in our attitude towards one another, in our attitude towards people that are lost, in our attitude towards you, God. Help us, Lord Jesus. Save us, O God. Save us from ourselves. Save us from all that's wrong in us, Lord. Take out of us all that's wrong. Take out of us every evil thought, every wrong ambition. Change our priorities, O God. Help us to place you first in all things. Help us to believe you and to trust you, Lord, with all things. Help us to prove to ourselves and everyone around us that your word is true. And we could say, we proved him. His word is true. I stand on his word. I don't believe my own eyes. I don't believe my own mind. I believe the word of God. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity we have today. And Lord, I realize that we too are an insignificant group here, Lord. Just a few people gathered together. But Lord, if there be some here that are part of your bride, then we are a blessed people, Lord. Help us to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, that you in your time can show who is, Lord. Bless each one that's here today. Lord, you see my heart. I want you to bless the people. I want you to give them the desire of their heart. I want them to be happy. But Lord, I know that happiness doesn't come from pleasing self. Happiness comes from you, Lord. When we can be connected to you and fellowship with you and give you what you want, then we are truly satisfied. Then, only then, are we truly happy. Bless each one today. Lord, we have loved ones that we will continue to come. Job went before you every day. And we come before you every day and we plead for our loved ones that you'll have mercy, O God. That somehow, some way, they'll be there, Father. We commit them to you, Lord. We ask you to save them by your grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Wonderful. Wonderful, wonderful. Jesus is to me. Counselor, Prince of Peace, mighty God is He. Saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. You find that one, Sean? I don't know the number. It's wonderful. Oh, my heart, that's it. Yes. Oh, my heart sings today, sings for joy and gladness. Jesus say, satisfy, banishes my sadness. Guilt is gone, peace is mine, peace like to a river. Jesus say.